Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Datamatics Global Services Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Jagtap from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Inba. Good afternoon to all participants in the call today. Welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and investor presentation have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on our website, www.datamatics.com. In case anyone has not received a copy of the press release and presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to send it out to you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Rahul Ganodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Sandeep Mantri, EVP and Chief Financial Officer, and Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be followed by Sandeep talking on financials. We will then open the floor for question and session answer. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you can find on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Rahul. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pratik, and welcome and thank you everyone for joining our Q3 FY23 earnings call. We're glad to have you all on the call today. Let me begin by wishing everyone a very happy and prosperous new year. We announced our Q3 results yesterday, outlining our operational performance. I will briefly discuss some of the key business performance, and Sandeep, our CFO, will provide an update on the financials, after which we will open the floor for question and answers. Coming to the business update, I'm pleased with the overall performance of the business. We are delighted to report that our Q3 performance was strong, with a year-on-year growth of 23.9% and a sequential quarter growth of 8.5%. The growth was broad-based, driven by all three segments of digital operations, digital experiences, and digital technologies. This performance is noteworthy given the backdrop of an uncertain global economy and Q3 being traditionally a weak quarter for the IT sector due to the holiday season. Our EBIT margins have improved sequentially from 12.5% to 13.5%, primarily led by a healthy business growth, price negotiations, and cost optimization. While Sandeep will speak on segment numbers, I will touch upon how our segments are performing. I'm happy to share that our digital technology business, which was under stress for the last two quarters, has bounced back. Our EBIT margins have improved from -2% to a positive 2.2%, and I'm very happy to inform you that Datamatics has successfully delivered automatic fare collection and mobile ticketing systems for Mumbai Metro Line 2A and Line 7, which was inaugurated by our honorable Prime Minister, Shri Narendra Modi, yesterday. It is a proud moment for every Datamatician to be associated with this project, which will be transformational for millions of Mumbaikars. Kolkata Metro also went live with our AFC solution last month, which was also inaugurated by our honorable Prime Minister. In digital operations, we witnessed strong growth on the top line. However, EBIT margins declined by 323 basis points sequentially. This is in line with our expectations as we ramped up our headcount for Q4. In digital experiences, our EBIT margins continued to be strong at 27.8%, up by 235 basis points sequentially. On a YTD basis, for the first three quarters, we signed new business worth of $57 million. Our deal pipeline remains healthy. In conclusion, going forward, we are optimistic about the overall demand environment and are confident of maintaining growth of over 17% in this financial year. With that, I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Sandeep Mantri. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us in Q3 FY23 earnings call. To begin, I would like to wish everyone a very happy and safe new year. Let me take you through the financial performance for the quarter ended December 31, 2022 first, and then I'll take you to 9 months financial performance. Despite a normally being a seasonally weak quarter, we reported strong revenue growth driven by all three segments we operate in. Our quarter three FY23 revenue stood at rupees 372.6 crores, which is 8.5% up on a sequential basis and 23.9% on a YOY basis. A healthy growth, favorable exchange and cost optimization, all these have led to a healthy consolidated EBITDA for the quarter at rupees 59 crore or 15.8% in revenue, which is up by 14.2% on a sequential basis and 16.7% on YOY basis. Our consolidated EBIT for the quarter was at 50.2 crores or 13.5% on revenue, which is reflect a growth of 17.1% on a sequential basis and 18.1% on YOY basis. We aspire to keep and grow healthy double-digit EBIT and EBITDA margin in the coming quarters as well. Our other income on a consolidated basis stood at rupees 10.6 crores, which is a growth of 10% sequentially and 87% on YOY basis. Primary reason is better return on investment and exchange gains due to favorable exchange rate. Our tax rate for the quarter was at 25.3% compared to 24.2% last quarter in quarter three of FY22. We expect our tax rate to be in the range of 22%-23% on a yearly basis. Our quarterly PAT after NCI was at 45.9 crore, which is growth of 14.8% on a sequential basis and 24.1% on a YOY basis. Our EPS for the quarter was at 7.78 per share, which is higher than last year same period, which was at 6.27 per share. When we see segment-wise performance, our digital operations revenue was at 152.8 crores, a growth of 6.7% on sequential basis and 24.2% on YOY basis. Digital operations EBIT margin was at 19.5%. Its contribution to total revenue was 41%. The margins are in line with our expectation as we ramp up our headcount in quarter three in preparation for quarter four. Our digital experience revenue was at 61.2 crores, a growth of 16.7% on a sequential basis and 46.9% on YOY basis. Its EBIT margin was at 27.8%, and the contribution to total revenue was 16%. Our digital technologies revenue was at 158.7 crores, which is a growth of 7.4% on sequential basis and 16.6% on YOY basis. EBIT margin improved to 2.2% from a negative 2% in last quarter. The technology contribution to total revenue was 43%, and the primary reason for this margin improvement is growth in revenue as well as optimization in cost, resulting in better recovery. In terms of geographical footprint, U.S. is the largest geography with 54% of our business coming from U.S. India is 29%. Rest of the world, including U.K. and Europe, is 17%. When we talk about industry footprint, BFSI continue to remain largest segment for us, which is 24% of our revenue, followed by education and publishing, which is 22%, then technology and consulting, which is at 16%. Nonprofit or non-government organization are at 13%. Manufacturing, infra and logistics is at 12%. Retail at 8% of our business. Rest all businesses are 5% of our total revenue. Our client concentration remains very healthy, with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 24%, 37% and 52% respectively. We added 13 new clients in the quarter. Now, coming to 9 months FY23 financials, our revenue was at 1,042.9 crores, a growth of 17.5% on YoY basis. Our EBITDA was at 158.4 crore, which is up by 11.7% as compared to last year. EBITDA margin stood at 15.2%. Our EBIT was at 132.3 crores, which is a growth of 12.5% on YoY basis. And EBIT margin to revenue stood at 12.7%. Our other income was at 33.4 crores, which is a growth of 135.6%, which is primarily due to exchange gain, SEIS incentives, and better investment income. The tax rate for 9 months is 22.3% compared to 21.4% in the same period of previous year. We expect tax rate to be in the vicinity of 22 to 23% for full year. Our PBT before exceptional item was at 163.3 crores, which is a growth of 25.3%. Our PAT after NCI was at ₹129.2 crores, which is a growth of 15.5% on a YoY basis. Our EPS for the 9 months was at 21.92 per share as compared to 18.98 per share in the last year, same period, which is a growth of 15.5%. If you see segment-wise revenue mix for 9 months FY23, digital operations revenue was at 443.4 crores, which is up by 18.2%, and EBIT margin for the same segment was at 21.8%. Our digital experience revenue was at 159.8 crores, up by 35.4%, and EBIT margin for digital experience business was at 25.7%. Our digital technologies revenue was at 439.6 crores, up by 11.4%, and EBIT margin was at negative 1.25% on a 9-month basis. Our balance sheet continues to remain in a healthy position, very healthy position. As on December 31st, 22, our total cash and investment stood at rupees 455 crores. We don't have any debt on our book now. We are a zero-debt company. Our DSO was at 68 days for the first 9 months of this year as compared to 74 days as on March 31st, 22. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for questions. And thank you for your patience and continued interest in Datamatics. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Faisal Hawa from AG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
For a mid-size or a small-size company, IT company like ours, where do you see the actual opportunities, and you know how will we compete against much bigger rivals? And you know, for we may have a problem both for talent as well as business from major companies. So, what is the kind of positioning that we are taking to really grow our revenues quarter and quarter? And what is the kind of revenue increase that you see in dollar terms year on year for the next financial year?
So, in terms of competing with the large customers, we service different market segments. So, we don't see very heightened competition in the segments that we service. We don't very often come across a TCS or an Infosys or anybody of that kind. Occasionally, we do. And in fact, statistically, we tend to win more often than they winning. The reason being that we tend to work more closely with the customers, and our solutioning efforts tend to be far more engaged. In terms of the market segments, still the U.S. is the largest market. It's still a huge market, and I don't see any issues in terms of growth. As far as talent is concerned, if you see our attrition rates, it's pretty much in line with the rest in the industry. So we're not having any attrition rate that is higher or lower. And we are able to attract talent. We don't see an issue that talent is going to, let's say, a Wipro or an HCL and not coming to a Datamatics. I don't see that happening at all. So I don't see those headwinds that you may perceive. And we've been around and we continue to grow at a very healthy pace. So if had we seen those challenges, then we would not have had the growth that we are currently showing. So I'm not seeing those as headwinds for us.
And then about the next year FY revenue guidance?
So this year we will certainly give at least about 17% growth. Next year, I am certainly looking at 15% plus. We are right now going through our business planning exercise, so I don't have all the numbers ready. But yes, it will be in the vicinity of 15% for next year.
And sir, what would be the top five clients' concentration in revenue for us?
Our CFO just mentioned that, and I will just have to refer to that. The top
24, 37, and 52 for 5, 10, and
20 clients.
Thanks a lot,
sir.
Thank you.
A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Bottoms Up Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and good set of numbers. I hope I am audible.
Sir, can you switch to handset mode and speak, please? Your audio is a bit muffled.
Just give me a minute. Is it better now?
Yes, you can go ahead, sir.
Okay. So, yeah, hi. The question was, sir, on two parts. One, when we look at our business, if you can throw some more color, I think in one of our calls you mentioned that digital operations is basically the back-end processing. Digital tech experience is more the front-end services for the client, like maybe a website designing, website management, etc. And digital technologies is largely the automated fare system business for us. So if you can throw some color on the understanding of these three businesses. And the second question is that our margins are very high in the digital experience and the digital operations. But for technologies, what would be a more sustainable state of margin? And if I understand it correctly, the metro automated fare system, etc., all these would be more like software as a service which we provide. So in that case, shouldn't those margins be more around 30-35% levels, because gross margins are typically high? But if you can please help me clarify on these understanding aspects.
Sure. So our digital operations is the back office where we do a lot of finance and accounting services, the banking back office operations, insurance back office operations, and back office for a lot of publishing and retail companies. So that's what we do on the digital operation side. The reason it's digital is because we use a lot of technology, tools, automation in doing the back office operations for our customers.
Okay. So just to clarify on this, when you say back office for insurance, etc., so does it mean the claim management or running? So is it more like a software-based service, or it is more like an IT solution, which is a constant service?
It is a BPO service on the back of technology and platform. So we do a lot of claims processing, account opening, KYC, those kinds of things.
Understood.
So there's a lot Understood. Of service from some, if the others can be on mute. So that's on the digital operations. The digital experiences, as I said, front office, which is more customer management, and that is led by a heavy research and analytics team. So we do a lot of analysis and research on customer behavior and customer likes, and based on that, we engage with customers. So that's a lot of customer management services. And the digital technologies is not only AFC. AFC is one component of it. There are many other things that we do on cloud, on mobility, on low-code, no-code. Application modernization and migrations, things like that. So there's a lot of work we do on digital technology. Fare collection is one component of it. So if you see, our traditional margins have been fairly healthy even in technology. It's last two quarters that we had a huge challenge, and that is because of some project overruns as well as some client which kind of had a multi-vendor strategy. So they went across to other, they part of the portfolio went off to other vendors. The other issue is also we had a huge, as you know, last 6 months have been for the IT industry, quite troublesome in terms of attrition and salary hikes. So it's a combination of all these things that are put together. Plus, we have been investing on our product space, so that investment continues, and therefore we see a little muted margin. Otherwise, if you sort of extract the investments we are making, our margins are in the vicinity of about 13 to 15%.
Okay, so just a few questions about that. So it's very clear on the experiences part and the digital operations part. On that, the only question is the margins which we maintain are very high. So around 20% margin for a business process looks to be clear. So is it that we have created our own IT products like Truebot, etc., which helps us to command this margin? So that was the first question. And on the digital technology, sir, if I try to look at it, this is more like an IT service pair where we would be, say, competing with a TCS, Infosys, Wipro, etc. So to that extent, when we look at our margins, even historically, we were there in the range of around 8 to 10%. Is there room for this margin to improve to a 15% kind of number over time, obviously, gradually, X of the investment in the products?
Yes, you're right. So the margins will improve. Certainly, the activity better margins. On digital technologies, it's one of the reasons the margins look muted is all the investments that we're doing in AI and robotics and all of that stuff, intelligent automation, is captured in the technology space, and we're not capitalizing those expenses. We're expensing them out. On the maintenance of the margin on the digital operations and digital experiences, we expect that we will maintain the margins roughly in the same range. It might go 1% up or down, but that's normal when you're having 26 to 27% margin. 1% fluctuation is not something that's unexpected. But we will maintain fairly healthy margins even in the next years.
The question on the operations side was that the margins of 20% are very strong. What is it that allows us to maintain such high margin in a business versus outsourcing work? Is it the stickiness or is it the automation IPs which we have created that helps us to maintain that margin?
Yeah, it is the automation IP that we are deploying in our operations, which gives us the productivity benefits.
Got it. One more. Got it. No, I think this is clear. I think on the cash part, sir, so our cash balances have improved a lot over the last 2-3 years because of the strong accrual. So we are sitting with around 450 crore. And if I understand correctly on products, from our previous calls, I remember we invest up to 20 to 25 crore per annum on the products part. I just want to understand that. And what stops us from, the way you look at this cash pool, you want to distribute it at some point of time, maybe because of some regulatory hurdles you are waiting for that, or you think that it is ultimately going to be used for acquisitions at some point of time. Because if I remember, the balance used to be around 150, 200 crore earlier, but the way we are generating cash flows, this keeps on increasing. So some plan on that, if you can throw some light.
So we are looking at acquisitions actively. We are in dialogue with some of the companies. Obviously, nothing has happened till it's not happened. There's a lot of disturbance on the line.
Toshniwala, when you're not speaking, please mute your line. There's a lot of typing noise coming from your background.
Yes, I muted myself. Sorry.
Yeah, so we are looking at acquisitions and some of these funds will be consumed in M&A activities. We are in dialogue with some companies, but we will talk about them or announce them as they mature.
Okay. The reason I asked, sir, because we are already growing at a very good pace of 15-20%. And I believe your guidance is all X of acquisitions. So to that extent, which is why I asked this question, because if we have an acquisition of around 400 crore, then probably it adds 20-25% to our current sales, broadly, roughly. So that was the one part which I wanted to clarify. I have one more question after this. Maybe I can add it right now or I can ask after this.
Yeah, No. So you can ask, because I think I already answered the question that we are looking at acquisitions. Obviously, you're not going to blow up 400 crores in acquisitions because you've got to keep some reserve, which is very critical for any business, working capital and all that investment. And plus, we are doing R&D. We keep investing in newer technologies. So you do need funds for that. You need to have a healthy reserve. In any case, you never know when certain things go wrong in the global market. We had the virus issue. We had the war with Ukraine. Something else can pop up. So it's important that the company maintains a healthy reserve. Having said that, yes, we are actively looking at these investments, both in R&D and technology and acquisitions.
Got it. And so the other question was on the investment in the products on the technology part. So if I remember, last 3 to 4 years, we have been investing in it, and probably if I take an annual expenditure of 25-30 crore, then we would have already put around 150 crore of expenditure on the various products. I think at some point of time, you mentioned that you would want to give some number on the product revenue when it scales up. But just want to understand that it has been 5 years since we have been investing in products, and that is impacting the margins of the technology business. So what is the outcome which we are getting out of it? If you can throw some color of what out of the total digital technology revenue is coming from the various products, and how much more time of investment and scale-up do you think will be needed here?
Sure. So we are beginning to see an uptrend in terms of the kinds of deals we're getting. That's one direct benefit. There's another indirect benefit. When we go to the market with these products, we're getting spin-off benefits on the BPM side. So some of the deal sizes that we're getting, larger deal sizes on BPM, is on the back of some of these products. Now, one does not correlate and therefore offset those costs. The costs are still showing as investments because we're building this product. They're ready. We've deployed them in our own operations, which has given us efficiency. Plus, because of that, we are able to get larger deals and new deals. So there is a spin-off benefit to these investments. Unfortunately, the product license in terms of a direct sale has been a little muted. Having said that, we are seeing a good upswing in terms of the deals.
So yeah, hi, this is Mitul here. So from a products perspective, as Rahul mentioned, there are green shoots. We have been, the pipeline looks fairly healthy. So we have already onboarded some customers this year, and there have been some real marquee customers. And going forward, we also feel that next year will be also a year where we will see a good growth, which will bring a certain amount of weight to the entire business. So I think next year is going to be critical for us.
Okay. Got it. And sir, if I look at our shareholding, I think there was some promoter stake which was pared down in this quarter. If you can throw some color as to reason for promoter stake coming down, I mean, is there something because regulatory, we are well below 75%, so that was not a concern. But just wanted to get a sense of, I mean, is there any update on that part?
So if you read the SEBI disclosures, it's all over there. The promoter, as they age, are providing for their grandchildren, and therefore they've created a separate trust in which they have deployed some of the equity.
Okay. So the public holder which we see, universal trustee, that is nothing but that trust itself.
That is correct.
Okay. Very fair point. No, sir, I think great set of numbers. Thanks a lot for answering all the questions. Just one request that on the technology part, if you can separate the product investment and show it as a separate line item, it will give us much clearer picture of the technology margins because I think that is one business where analysts tend to compare your margins with maybe a typical IT service company, and that creates some discrepancies to the difference between the margins. Because on the operations part, we are definitely commanding a lot of margin. And what I thought, the way I was thinking is that all these investment in products is actually helping us in the business versus outsourcing business, the operations business. So does it make sense to classify them as a part of the operations cost rather than taking it in the technology piece? But any which way, I think thanks a lot for the good numbers. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We'll take our next question from the line of NGN Puranik from Inam. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. Congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you. Thank you, Puranik, sir.
Excellent. All round, you have been doing very good all across businesses. Mm-hmm. I have a question on your automation business. So if you can give a meaningful understanding of what's happening in terms of creating the market-focused solution, taking it to the market, branding, marketing, you know, customer targeting, and is the hiring complete? What's the long-term outlook for this? Are you happy with what's happening in the product business, or, you know, because some of these automation businesses, it has to see the result in a reasonable amount of time. So what is your view?
So overall, I am not as happy about our performance so far on product business. I think it needs to be much better. And we are looking at how we can further augment the channel team, because we've built a channel team, but that needs to deliver better results. We have been in dialogue with some of these analyst firms like Gartner and Everest in terms of working our strategy for this segment. And we've had several rounds of discussion. So along with them, we are re-looking at our strategies as we plan our next years. So that is a work in progress. I think in another month or so, we should have nailed that program. I do see some, as Mithun mentioned earlier, green shoots. We do see an uptake in the kind of deals that we're getting. I think also we had a slow start, and that was kind of pulling us back. But now the new logos and the marquee logos that we are getting are extremely promising. Some of them we've signed, so it's not that they're prospects. They've signed customers. So I think on the back of that, we will get more and more bigger logos, because, you know, they feel confident that 1, 2, 3, 4 big companies buy from you. The other large companies also feel confident in buying from us. So overall, it has been much slower than I expected, and I'm not very happy with that. But I am still confident and bullish that we are in the right place at the right time. The analyst coverage that we've got has also been very, very good in terms of the report that they've written about us. So I think we are in a good place. We are not increasing our burn substantially. Of course, we are spending 25 to 30 crores a year. But given the size of Datamatics, that's not a huge number. And it's something we can easily absorb. So that's not it's not causing us nightmares. But yes, it does need to improve, and we are working very actively on that.
Do you think you have the right product the market wants?
Yes. From the feedback that we've got from customers and from the analysts, they're extremely positive. So I'm very confident we've got the right product, and we are at the right place.
Do you need to fine-tune or sharpen your product to the market in relation to the competition and where the ROI of the client is headed?
I think we do need to sharpen some things around the market segment and the solutions and the focus and then the solutions that we take to that segment on the back of this product. So that needs sharpening, that's for sure. But I'm very confident that we are in the right place, and we are recalibrating our strategy. As I said, we are talking to these analysts from getting market inputs, because they talk to, you know, hundreds of companies. So they give us very valuable insights in terms of how we should re-strategize.
So what market segments you think are the right one to focus? Is it BFSI or is it tech?
I will just say one or two things and then Mithul will chime in. So BFSI is certainly the largest user, and we are now targeting within the BFSI segment. There are sub-segments. Mortgages is being one, wholesale banking is another one. So there are many, many segments within insurance, also life insurance, you know, general insurance, health insurance. So they're all different segments. So we are recalibrating that. plus the area of manufacturing is also very, very important, and we did not focus on that as much earlier, but now we are beginning to focus on that again. Specifically around the F&A space from a domain point of view, apart from the industry, the F&A practice is a good practice for automation on the back of robotics and two-cap and two-bot. So Mithil, you want to chime in?
So I think that's fairly, you've covered most of that, Rahul. So IDP is the very specific industry focus, basically BFSI, logistics, healthcare, government is also a big buyer. So these are the few industries which would make about 80-85% of the market. As Rahul mentioned, last year, we have definitely done better than what we have been doing last year. So we've green shoots, new customers have come on board, and those customers have been across all regions, US, Europe, and India. So it has been a fairly distributed, customer acquisition. Going forward, we need to, we're not changing the strategy per se, but if I have to put it, we need to be a little more focused in terms of which verticals to be entered into, and that would hopefully give us a faster time to close. As Rahul mentioned, what's not agreeing with us is the time taken for a deal to close is longer than what we had expected. So I think we're working. Our strategy is going to get fine-tuned with the right set of challenges which we've identified and going to the market. Now I think you also answered about recruitment. So I think recruitment we are fairly done. We have good sales teams both on ground in the US and in India and Europe. So the East and the West both. We may add strategically a few members, but more or less right now we are good for our this coming year.
I think the biggest challenge really that we faced is the cycle time to close. It's substantially longer than
pretty long cycle.
We have thought that it goes the cycle time will be 2 to 3 months, but it's substantially longer.
Around the client events you have, are they significantly referenceable client events?
Yes, that's
almost
what
everyone.
I see. So from their deep pocket to sophistication, maturity of using technology from that perspective?
Yes, absolutely.
I see. So that itself will get you a lot more wins, because initially the positioning has to be important in terms of client wins and performance.
Yes, right.
You have the right partner in place for selling this product?
We have multiple partners. I think, as I mentioned a little earlier, about 5 minutes ago, we do need to improve our partner channel throughput. That throughput is not as strong as we would like it to be.
So what do you need to motivate them to sell more?
That's a million-dollar question, Paramaji, you are asking. If you see some of the product companies like UiPath, their revenue is about $1 billion or a little over. Their losses are about $1 billion. So their spend is at least $2 billion. Now, if I spend that kind of money, I'm sure partners will be very happy.
No, that's, I understand that what you're saying. That the UiPath is in a footpath, actually. So that's a different model. But the key is, how do you get to,
to engage the partners into some of the marquee logos that we have, which is encouraging them to get more and more logos. So I think there it is good, but some of it is a slow process. Even partners will learn, they get confidence, it takes time. And honestly, I don't want to go into a burn mode very heavily.
Yeah, no, it's not advisable at all. All this burn mode will take you nowhere. So it is very, that's why I was asking you, because you are focusing on the right customer, is very important. Because the reference, at the end of the day, you look at a customer, you look at profitability, liquidity, and referenceability. Because referenceability will help you get more wins. And this also motivate other partners. That's
very
what good. I was asking.
Very good.
Wonderful, Rahul. All the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Paragya.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Shreya Pawar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, everybody. First of all, congratulations for the best results, Mr. Kanodia. My question is about the supply of the talent. So globally, tech companies are facing talent supply pressures. So are you also facing the impact of this?
So if you remember, about 6 months ago, the industry was going through a lot of turmoil, very high attrition, very high salary hikes. That has eased off right now. It's not come down to zero, but it has certainly cooled off. We are not having major challenges in attracting new talent. So I think on the supply side, good news is that it's easing off. Also, what's helping us is the announcement made by the big tech firms in the U.S., Facebook and Twitter and Microsoft and Amazon. They're all announcing layoffs, and that layoff is creating its own ripples in India. So therefore, I think there's some degree of easing off, which is very helpful. So by and large, we're okay. By and large, we're not having any major challenges.
Okay. Thank you. And I had one more question. So in last quarter investor call, you had a mention about the guidance of about 15% of the growth. And today, you are already at 17% for this particular financial year. So
yeah.
I just wanted to know what has contributed for this revised positive guidance.
So, it is a combination of three things. One is that our price hikes that we've renegotiated with several deals with customers because of the turmoil in the industry. So, the price hike has given us a little bump up. We've not yet experienced all the benefits, but some of it will continue in the next one quarter. And, of course, there's genuine revenue growth, right? So, we've had a good deal flow, and we continue to see healthy deal flows coming in. So the revenue growth is basically contributing to the growth that we are experiencing.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rahul.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Bottoms Up Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. The follow-up is on the product part itself. So if you can throw some color on the key products which we are creating, and we investing more with respect to the use cases. So if I look at our website, then we see a lot of products like digital workplaces, for we have products for trade, finance, etc. But I think, are these the one where we are investing, or there are different product categories altogether?
So there are three or four products that we've invested heavily in. Trade finance is not one of those. TrueBot is one product. TrueCap Plus is one product. True BI is another one, and finally the True Fare, which is for the metros. So these four have taken significant investment. The True Fare piece for the metros, we've gone live with Mumbai Metro, we've gone live with Kolkata Metro. So there I expect that the investments will come down now. We don't have to invest so heavily because we've got some live projects going on. TrueBot and TrueCap are the two major ones. Even True BI, the investments are minimal, and now it's more in a sales mode. So I'm not expecting too much on investment there. So it's really these two, which is TrueBot and TrueCap, which are the main investment products. There also we will plateau the investments because we'll have to, of course, sustain investments to keep the product current. We'll continue with that. The larger investment will now be on sales and marketing, which is very critical for us.
Okay. So if you can, so when we look at our these products, do we want to target the US customers itself, or we want to target the Indian customers? That's the first question. And the second one is that both these segments of TrueBot and TrueCap are competitive. So we have a whole lot of US players. We have a whole lot of Indian startups who want to invest in the robotic process automation. So there are many small players who have their own software. How do we plan to differentiate on the product part, one? And second part, is the system integrator, the GSI channel, the only channel to sell the products? Because I think for large clients, breaking through the clients will become very difficult. And secondly, or is there an alternate channel which we can use to target the small and medium enterprises, say for example through a player like Redington, etc., to cater to that SME, mine specific India. So wanted to get some sense on the customer set, the uniqueness of the product vis-a-vis the competition, and the channel through which we want to approach.
So hi, this is Mithul here. So I'll take one by one question. So one about how do we differentiate? So RPA, as you said, yes, it's a fairly crowded market and almost all the categories, all the players are at par. However, there are many bells and whistles within the product, which makes one is the entire total cost of ownership of managing super digital workforce much better value proposition. So TruBot fits into that piece and it brings down the overall cost of ownership for RPA. TruCap Plus is an IDP product. IDP is a new category overall, but it's getting getting a lot of traction. A lot of new players are entering the market. Where we differentiate is on our AI-based template-free capture, which basically means that once you enter the document, it automatically identifies what document it is and captures the information selectively and puts it down to the downstream system. That substantially reduces manual workflows, and also makes a case for a high amount of straight-through processing. So which is makes it very lucrative for enterprises to really bring down a lot of manual data entry if they are doing, especially for paper-based processes, which are very compliant, heavy processes, which requires typically a wet signature or it could be banking, insurance, financial services, industries, healthcare, which are very compliance-driven industries. So those are the use cases for that. And last is, you mentioned about...
One is the customers we want to target, the large or mid-tier in US or in India, and the third is on the channels through which we want to target.
Right. So customers, I just mentioned, that's typically compliance-driven industries are a good target audience. Finance and accounting as a horizontal process, because that is also compliance-driven, especially if you are a publicly listed company. So those are also very good target audience for these products. Now, how we go to market is across...
Sorry to interrupt, but also the category of customers. The reason I'm asking is that, for example, if I take the example of an ICICI Bank called JP Morgan, there would already be, say, a player like Newgen or some other mid-tier, large-cap, large-tier player there in the system doing the same thing. So whom exactly do we want to target when we say customers? And is it more US customers or the Indians?
No. So one is that we are focusing more on the US and European customers than Indian customers, because Indian customers tend to be far more price sensitive, and therefore the margins tend to be squeezed. Point number one. Point number two is that we are targeting the mid-tier mostly. The small companies are too small because the effort to sell is not commensurate to the scalability that you'll have. You'll get two, three new logos, but they won't scale. So the mid-tier are the ones where we're targeting, because the large ones are already crowded, as you rightly said. Having said that, I must say that some of the large companies that we've acquired recently have come to us because they've already burnt their fingers with some of our competitors. And therefore, I would not say that all the large companies are saturated. There is an opportunity for us, even amongst the large companies, and that's very important because you get some very large logos as in your customer, which gives confidence to the rest of the market and the rest of the customers. So our real segment is the mid-tier, but we are getting a few large ones as well.
Got it. Got it. And the last part, the channels, if you can throw some color as to do we have to get them tied up with system integrators, if that is the only viable channel to do this business. And if, and not sure if you can, but if you can name some reference of the clients who we have tapped for these products, it will be very helpful to reference.
Sure. No. So I'm not so sure I've got liberty to talk about customers, but as far as channels are concerned, they are system integrator type of companies. Some of them are large global system integrators, some of them are mid-size, and some of them are smaller. So you've got the entire spectrum. The smaller ones tend to act as more as resellers rather than value-added resellers. So they're not VARs, but they're just resellers. The mid-tiers tend to work as value-added resellers or SIs.
And a lot of these partners are also regional market leaders in their category, so they may not be like global companies, really large global SIs. They may be regional SIs, but they have good footprint. They have, you know, they are partners who are focusing on a certain vertical in a certain region, and you know, doing very well in that space. So, so we have, and we are speaking to both. So we have those type of customer partners, and now we are also talking to large global SIs who are you know, the likes of the TCSs and the Deloitte and the Cognizants of the world.
Okay, got it, got it. Sure. Thanks a lot, sir. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being on this call. Really appreciate the time you spent with us, and I look forward to engaging with you once again next quarter. If you have any other questions, please feel free to reach out to any one of us, and we'll be happy to address your questions. Thank you once again, and wish you a very happy new year.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.